We want to turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and 1 Peter, chapter 3. Hebrews 11, first of all. We want to read a number of passages in the book of Hebrews, beginning at verse 11. We're dealing with the characteristics of godly mothers. I think it's great that we can have a day set aside when mothers are honored as they are. And in all probability, today has been a sad day for many mothers, for they were not honored by their children. And that's sad, but in all probability it happened. These things do happen. But what a delight that the Lord's people are different. We're different because of a new heart and a new relationship, a new birth, an effectual call from God. Now, beginning in verse 11 of Hebrews 11, we read, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even a one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Verse 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Verse 31. "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Verse 35. "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Now from the first letter to Peter, chapter 3, verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the manner of life of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." We want to again go to prayer, but before we do, I'd just like to mention that Audrey Thompson enters Alamance Hospital tonight, Alamance County Hospital, and tomorrow she's going to have laser surgery to take care of a pinched nerve somewhere here in the upper part of her arm, which is continuously giving her excruciating pain. So we want to remember her in prayer tonight, and remember her especially tomorrow, that this surgery may be effectual and blessed to her. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, We thank you that we can come and examine thy precious word and at the same time honor godly mothers. And we do thank you that we can ask on behalf of others. We can intercede because there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We pray for Mrs. Thompson tonight and ask you to graciously undertake in her life. We ask for wisdom for the surgeon and all the details of it. And we ask that you would give help to her in order that she can continue to maintain the use of that arm so that she'll be able to walk with a walker. We just ask this for thy great name's sake, in order that her lips may praise you because of your wondrous grace toward her. Now we thank you for asking, and we pray that you'll use your word tonight in all our lives to cause our hearts to rejoice in what you provided by divine grace. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some mothers listed in that great list of the heroes of faith, the honor roll of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. Sarah is mentioned. And she's also mentioned in the passage we read in 1 Peter chapter 3. When you think of Sarah as a mother, we usually think of the mistake she made in the 16th chapter of Genesis when she told Abraham to take her servant girl, Hagar, to be his wife in order that they can help out the promise of God. And she produced Ishmael, a person that was never accepted by God. But when we come to the New Testament, you know, Sarah is more or less in a bad light in the Old Testament. But when you come to the New and we have the Holy Spirit's light on the Old, you find Sarah in good light in the New Testament. There isn't anything in the New Testament said against Sarah. That's an amazing thing. God did a gracious work in that woman's life. Now, Moses' mother is also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment, which led her to do what she did. It's an amazing thing. The king's commandment was to cast the babies into the river. That's what she did. But around her baby, she put something. An ark of bulrushes that was made by faith. Faith in the promises of God. And when Pharaoh's daughter looked into that little ark, the tears of Moses brought down the kingdom. It's an amazing thing that she put Moses in the water. And God destroyed Pharaoh and his host with water. For they were overthrown in the Red Sea. My, what a Bible we have. So Moses' parents are mentioned. What godly person. There are two others there that aren't mentioned in Hebrews 11, but they're mentioned there in the early part of the book of Exodus. Pua was one of them, and the other, they were midwives, and the scripture says the Lord built them houses. And I don't believe that the Lord used carpenters to build the houses. I believe that the word, he built them houses, means that he gave them a posterity in faith, the same as he built a house for David. When David was going to build the house of God, God said to him, no, you're not, but I'm going to build you a house. And he established with David a covenant, the covenant concerning the Davidic kingdom. And he established the throne of David, the house of David, a posterity who would follow and bring honor and glory to God. And I believe that's what is mentioned concerning the two midwives who feared the Lord and who did not obey the king's commandment. And they were honored by God. God built them houses. But then Rahab is mentioned. Rahab is one of my favorite characters. I have never spoken about Rahab on a Mother's Day. And one of these days I'm going to. Because she had a great son. She had a great son. And she had a great daughter-in-law. And I'm going to preach on Rahab one Mother's Day. Maybe I'll never get another opportunity, But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to it. Rahab is mentioned. And I want to say a little more about Rahab in a few minutes. But then there are other ladies that are mentioned. It says women received their dead to life again. Remember the widow woman whose son Elijah raised to life. Remember the great woman of Shunem whose son Elisha raised to life. Women received their dead raised to life again. Why? They're heroes of faith. They're in the honor roll of the faithful. What a plurality of mothers we have in Hebrews 11 to manifest the grace of God. In connection with the faith of Sarah, it is said, of whom sprang many, even as the number of the stars in heaven, from multitudes. They sprang from Sarah and her faith. She believed the promise of God. Now these women were godly in their lives, and they were blessed in their character. And this is what is most important in life. Now, we want to notice from 1 Peter chapter 3, in particular, we want to notice the things that characterize the lives of these godly mothers. The first of which is obedience. Obedience. It isn't always easy to obey. Obedience is first brought to our attention in the school of holy love called marriage. And this is where it all begins. As it began with marriage with a woman we examined this morning, the wife of Zebedee, Salome. It began with marriage to Zebedee. So it is where we find obedience first of all. Women are commanded, wives are commanded in 1 Peter 3 and in Ephesians chapter 5 to obey their husbands. Marriage is also the discipline of sweet self-denial. We deny ourselves for the sake of another. There is many a woman who denied herself for her children. What a blessed mother indeed. There are more mothers who deny themselves in order that their children may have than we can ever imagine. The silent eloquence of a holy, self-denying life will generally be far more powerful and far more effective than any argument or any controversy. That's why Peter says to the women, adorn yourselves with godliness. You can win your husband not by arguing with him, not by nagging, but by your manner of life. Now, a humble, holy life often wins souls that eloquence can never touch. Obedience is so important. Now, a great example is Rahab in Hebrews 11, verse 31. I'd like to contrast Rahab for a moment with King Saul. What blessed Rahab and what was the downfall of King Saul? Obedience. Obedience works something. Obedience works patience before God. Patience. That's one thing that King Saul was not. He was not patient. Samuel told King Saul to wait till he arrived, and then he would offer sacrifice on his behalf. Samuel was God's appointed prophet priest to offer the sacrifice. But when Samuel didn't come, when King Saul thought he should be there, King Saul intruded, and he went ahead and offered it, and then Samuel came. And God said to Samuel concerning King Saul, I have rejected him. On the other hand, we have Rahab. Where do we find obedience in Rahab? She received the spies in peace. And the cord that she used to let them down over the wall, she wound in the window of her home. But the spies said something to her. If you go out of the house, we'll be free of our oath. Now, when everything crumbles, when your house is on the wall, and the walls come tumbling down all around you, when everything falls apart around you, where did Rahab stay? She stayed in the house, for Joshua commanded the two spies to go in and bring her and everybody else that's out. When I think of what it must have been like at the wall of Jericho, when they came tumbling down, oh, we sing, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and I love to hear it sung. But what was it like? It must have been mass confusion in the city of Jericho that day. For the wall came down. Rahab's house was on the top of the wall. On the wall. And to remain in the house when everything drops on each side and there's mass confusion all around and to patiently wait for God to move. She had to wait till the spies came and took her out. Obedience. You see, in the school of obedience, it's not a matter of trying to figure it out for yourself. And this is what we're trying to do today in the church. We try to figure the commandments of God, whether we're going to obey them or not, according to how I feel or according to how somebody else feels concerning the Word of God. It's far better if we just simply obey it. And you see, here we have Ahab and the greatness of her faith. Here's the first thing and characteristic of a godly mother. Obedience. Obedience. Everything rises or falls on the subject of obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. You see, we may not see the effects of the Word of God right away. We may not see it. But in due time we will. Last Sunday afternoon, I was trying to find Nora Patterson in Pennsylvania. I knew she was in the Pittsburgh area. So I called a friend of mine in Pittsburgh. And I helped them, and they lived in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And we got an assembly started in Johnstown. And I went there a number of times. And now they have a small assembly started in their neighborhood where they are in Pittsburgh. And Mrs. Caulfield said this to me. She said, Phil, my brother's 83 years old, and he got saved just about a month ago. And she said he was saved 3 weeks, and he stood up in the morning meeting, and he gave out a hymn. She said, I could not sing. I was so filled with praise that God would save my brother at 83. God has his time. Let us be obedient. God is not working on your schedule. And he isn't working on mine. Oh, I'd like to see this place filled tonight. I'd like to see this place filled with sinners, and I'd like to see sinners getting saved. I'd like to see sinners responding to the gospel. We seem to have everything else that we respond to in the day in which our lot is cast. But let us be faithful with the one thing that God has promised to bless. He has promised to bless the faithful preaching of the gospel. Obedience is so important. And so it is with godly women, godly mothers. The second thing that we read about here is simplicity. We're told here in this passage in 1 Peter that Christian women should be quiet and modest in their attire. Now, we don't like to hear that today. But attention to dress and personal decoration is natural to women. This is obvious from the customs in every age, whether you study the customs in ancient Rome or ancient Greece, or Egypt, or anywhere else today in the world. Now, the apostle is not censuring such attention. There is apparel. There is adornment. But there is apparel and adornment that is far preferable to any body costume and jewelry that taste can devise or that money can buy. It is a meek and a quiet spirit. A meek and quiet spirit. You know what meekness is? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Those two midwives in Egypt were meek. They submitted to God and their strength was under control. They weren't afraid of the king's commandments. Now, they didn't have the book of Proverbs to read, but the book of Proverbs says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And when we sing a hymn like we did tonight, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. God will overturn kingdoms to accomplish his desired ends for one of his people. And one of those people could be you. One of those people could be me. God honors obedience and he honors simplicity. A meek and a quiet spirit. That quiet spirit doesn't mean that you have to keep your mouth shut all the time. That's not what the passage is saying. It is talking about apparel and ornamentation that command the attention and admiration of all whose admiration is desirable. There's a lot of admiration that isn't desirable. There's some people, I don't want to admire me. But there's one whose admiration I'm interested in, and he speaks about simplicity. Now, empty fools may admire the outward display of riches and fashion, and these may captivate the worldly. But you and I can never impress God in any way by the adorning of the flesh. But we can impress God with a meek and a quiet spirit, all for simplicity in our day. Now, such apparel and such ornamentation are inseparable from the character they adorn, for that character that they adorn is imperishable. It will never perish. Now, poverty may deprive a woman to dress the way she might if she were wealthy, but we got to keep something in mind. Years may take their toll. Where beauty was once manifest, there may be wrinkles. But there is something that's imperishable, friends. The meek and the quiet spirit never changes as time changes. What a blessing. Here's something to work on. Obedience and simplicity. For these two things characterize the godly mothers in Israel. Such apparel and such ornamentation are precious in the sight of God. Now, we may seek the approval of men with too earnest diligence, and we may attach far too much value on man's approval, but we need that approval that comes from God. When we look at verse 5, for instance, in 1 Peter 3, it says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. This is a true pilgrim character that should characterize a godly mother. In Hebrews 11 and verse 13, we began our reading at verse 11. In verse 13, you remember, you have the pilgrim character and the pilgrim nature, where it says, these all died in faith, not having seen, received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The pilgrim character was theirs. Holy women of old. Let us consider for a moment the two adornings. The soul is far more precious than the body. Far more precious. The soul is of far greater importance to adorn than the body is to decorate. The soul. The Word of God calls it here in 1 Peter 3, the hidden man of the heart. That word hidden means you're not always asserting self. Hidden means retiring in its honest beauty. The hidden man of the heart. Kind words and kind deeds that do not excite the rest. Incorruptible. It isn't lost in death. He's talking about the heart. The hidden man of the heart. And it's that hidden man of the heart that is so important, that characterized the godly women of a past generation. And holy women of old, incorruptible. It is not lost in death. It follows on to the glory of Christ. And on to glory with Christ. God prizes the meek and the quiet spirit. Now, we have the example of holy women. And we read it in verses 5 and 6. Why was it so? Well, first of all, their hope is in the Lord. Sarah's hope could not be in her own activity, for she tried that, and it didn't bring forth what she expected. And she had to run Hagar out of the house after Ishmael was born. What a terrible household Abraham had with two wives. And God never acknowledged Hagar as Abraham's wife. Sarah shared the promises with Abraham. And therefore, when we read the great epistle to the Galatians, and we read concerning the two covenants, there in Galatians chapter 4, it speaks of Sarah having a greater family, and it's speaking of that family of faith who become the children of Abraham through faith in Abraham's great son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sarah has an enlarged family. Why? She was a holy mother. She trusted God. And God eventually acknowledged that faith and blessed her abundantly. Now the Word of God says they are daughters of faith. When this is accomplished today, it speaks of them whose daughters they are. And one of the characteristics of godly mothers, they learn to rest in the Lord. You know, there are times in the rearing of a family that the patience and other things are swept out underneath. Sickness may enter. Things may come in that distress, and whenever anything happens to a child, or to a grandchild, or someone close. My, the distress that can come. But our trust is where? Our trust, our hope is in the Lord. We learn to rest in the Lord. Now, Peter ends his message concerning the characteristics of godly women by speaking to husbands. Husbands who have godly wives, and who have wives who are gracious and godly, and they have the characteristics of good mothers. He ends and he says, remember, the wife is the weaker vessel. Treat her as such. Furthermore, he says to the husband, though she is commanded by the Word of God to be in subjection, remember this. You are heirs together of the grace of life. You are not an heir by yourself. You are not a little king in a kingdom. You are heirs together of the grace of life. This is the hope that a godly family shares as partakers of the divine nature. This is a blessed hope that the godly family shares in the glory of Christ. We're looking forward and we're going forth to the glory of Christ in the coming kingdom. And we are heirs together of the grace of life. Now, when these duties are neglected, what happens? Prayers are hindered. Prayers are hindered. How often have our prayers been hindered because we have not obeyed? And I'm thinking of myself as a husband and a father, that I haven't obeyed the Word of God. We are heirs together of the grace of life. And we're to give honor unto the wife. When these duties are neglected, prayers are hindered. This past Monday night, we were studying together in our home the subject of the hindrance of prayer in the revelation that was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. How that the prince of Persia, behind the governments of the world, is a demon that controls the government. Behind the government of Persia, there was a prince of Persia who was in a demonic personage who hindered the angel Gabriel from coming to Daniel and giving him the answer to his prayer. And Daniel was a godly man. And he withheld Daniel. He held him up for 3 whole weeks. I mean, he held up the angel Gabriel and wouldn't let him pass through in order to get to Daniel. Wouldn't let him get in. And God dispatched Michael. And I believe our Lord Jesus himself appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. And then when the angel Gabriel leaves, he said, when I return, I'm going to have to go and fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm through with him, I'm going to have to meet the prince of Greece. They were the 2 main empires in the world at that time. And behind the government in Washington, D.C. is a demon. Make no mistake about it. Behind the government in London is a demon. And you and I have the privilege of praying. But we can hinder our prayers in the most important place, our own home. By how we treat our wives, and how we live in the home. The home is important. And I couldn't think of anything better concerning godly mothers on Mother's Day than to remind us of their characteristics and how important it is. And I thank God for every godly mother that I know that seeks to honor the Lord in the home and bring up her children in the fear of the Lord. Obedience, simplicity, holy living, and then for husbands, to honor the wives and recognize who they are in the structure that God has commanded. Why? Their prayers aren't hindered. Oh, that God would raise up in our day godly mothers who have power with God, as did the mother of Moses, as did Rahab, as did Sarah, and as other women of the New Testament and Old Testament did. May God raise them up in our day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the mothers of this assembly. And we ask you to graciously work in each of our lives and in each of our families, that we may bring forth fruit unto God and show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For Jesus' sake, amen.